the city of Sharn, full of commonplace magic, subtle powers, and ruthless criminals. Anyone can make their fortune in one moment, only to lose it and their life in the next. One small inquisitive agency tries to scratch out a living uncovering truth for anyone who's willing to pay. The changeling Wits and the Warforged Sevens are imperfect people in a city of perfect chaos. Will they bring justice to the city, or will they find themselves torn apart by sinister forces? Find out on Two Ashes, Two Dust, a Sharn Inquisitive podcast.
So you guys have settled in to threes.
We leveled up first, right? Do we want to go over that?
Yeah, I think we should.
You want to? After thwarting the terrorist attack on the capital, a lightning rail derailed and sent flying over the Howling River into the castle of the King of Breland. You all managing to deflect. Minimize the damage as much as possible. You leveled up. Wits. What new abilities and powers did you take from your level up move?
All right, quick and dirty. Up to level 4. Hit points stay the same always in this game, so I'm still at 15 there.
Let's raise your con.
I raised my wisdom, so now I get a +2. On that, and my new advanced skill is Silver Tongue. You never have to spend money to carouse, and you roll with charisma instead of coins spent. If there is already a gathering happening, you may carouse without having returned triumphant.
So, nice. Basically, we've given the character with substance abuse issues...
Uh-huh. Free drinks.
We've
enabled.
Indeed.
The player has chosen to enable the character with substance abuse issues. To be clear.
Indeed.
It's partly my fault I signed off on it.
And just being able to carouse without having to worry about like inventory management of gold is, you know, it's handy.
You have
its own reward.
Hold on. It'll pay for itself real fast. Okay, sevens. What did you do in your level up to level 4?
My hit points stay at 26. I increased my wisdom up to 14, so I think I'm still at a +1 for that. And I took the setup strike ability or move.
Okay.
So when I perform a hack and slash, I can choose an ally, so I'll need to find myself one of those.
Rude.
And
I recommend Mo. I recommend Mo.
And then, oh yeah, Mo. I like that.
Get the him a little beak action in there. Open the little like bolt bag of holding in your chest. Mo flies out and scratches them and flies back.
Yes. Bites. Beak bite. So anyway, that next attack after I use a setup strike will allow them to add a 1d4 damage to their roll. And I think that was it.
Quick and dirty. Quick and easy. Pitter patter, let's get at her.
Simple. So you all are in the docks district on the other side of the castle, where there is significantly less debris from the lightning rail that crashed into the outer wall. You're sitting with an older model. He's got three cogs and a very mechanical looking face set into a permanent grin, a big scratch scar across one eye socket. Rune carved in his forehead. It's glowing slightly. Sevens is a big warforge. This guy is twice as broad, if not as tall.
I can still take him.
Very confident of you. So you all are sitting in a quiet bar, enjoying a drink or two. In the middle of the afternoon, while the fire crews across the city are helping put out the wreckage and dealing with the debris and House Orion is coming to collect the proprietary technology from the train wreckage.
Does that include the living lightning that we channeled into the crystal? Because there, I have concerns. I was thinking after last session, I was like, huh, I wonder if we should go get that.
Probably destroyed both of them, right?
Kind of, well, I feel like if it were destroyed, we would have seen a gigantic living lightning explosion.
An earth-shattering kaboom.
Kaboom!
It's supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Accurate. But, you know, this is where 3 came in. Anything dangerous, anything that was part of the weapon of mass destruction, anything that might be used to link the Emerald Claw to this attack, was removed before House Orion could mobilize.
House Orion is the people in charge of the lightning rail?
Yes.
So it's like a private contractor.
Unless I got that wrong. Hold on. Give me like 2 seconds. We may need to edit this out. If I said the wrong house for the lightning rail,
it'd be fucking embarrassing.
We would be at...
God, you call yourself a GM.
Unbelievable.
Look, it's a huge fucking setting.
God, we're fucking amateur hour over here.
Goddamn audacity.
House Orion.
Just trying to exist in this fucking world.
Yes. Okay. Although House Kneath invented the lightning rail, House Orion are the ones who operate and manage it.
So it's a private company cleaning up. It's BP in charge
of
their
stuff. They are a dragon-marked house.
Well, so yeah. I mean,
I suppose, Tesla or Ford. Basically, a megacorp in cyberpunk terms.
But they're cleaning it up, not the city of wherever we are. Road.
They might help pay for some of the repairs, but that's largely going to fall on the citizens. They're there to make sure that none of their proprietary technology, which they purchased from House Kneath, falls into the hands of anyone else ever.
Rad.
Sounds like this kingdom could stand to pass an infrastructure bill.
I mean, they built the lightning rail. Well, and then there were the 100 years of war.
The middle class citizens of Rote are very concerned with IP laws. Listen, if we pass down
not
the technology,
not as much as Sharn. The people here are mostly government bureaucrats, right? This is the capital, so you have the court, you have the various ministries that help run the nation of Breland. You have a small port authority which brings stuff in, but this is how can I describe this? If Sharn is New York, this is DC.
Hmm.
Does that seem like a fair... Does that help make it more clear what its role is?
Yeah. Anyway, we've
got
bogged.
You got a bunch of military nut jobs. You got small groups that represent different government agencies. You've got a couple temples to the Silver Flame and the Sovereign Host. There's a parliament. And then Morgrave University has an outpost here, too.
I, for one, am very excited to pay 18 gold for a subpar cocktail wherever I go.
Luckily, you don't pay coin.
That's right. I carouse.
You carouse, and drinks are on 3. Because he's low-key interrogating you guys, being like, so, what are your names? Where are you from?
How do you end up? He thinks he's going to interrogate us. That remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll see who interrogates who.
Exactly.
He's mostly trying to make sure that you're not actually with the Emerald Claw.
Are we?
That's his agenda. And it's pretty clear you're not. Mostly because you're not fanatics. You're not from Karnath. And you're pretty clearly pissed at the guy who hijacked the train.
And we don't have giant Emerald Claw tattoos on our face.
There's no tattoo. There's no tattoo. It's a hat. It's a hat. Like, they are a guerrilla cell terrorist organization at this point that used to be a mercenary company.
To the bar!
Yeah, 3's sitting down at the table. He's got a round in front of you going, well, welcome to Rote. I wish you'd arrived by some other means, but, you know, I'm glad you were there. Can you tell me about what happened?
Sorry to drop in on you like this.
Sevens, did you see how he carried all of our drinks in one hand all the way here? Could you imagine you do? Look how big he is.
Sevens just grumbles a little.
He's so big. He's like twice you. He's like 14.
room.
No. I'm just three. I'm just three. But if you want to reconfigure into the wider stance, that low center of gravity is really key in holding the line. I won't lie.
Yeah, he's got short arms for a guard, though. I like to sneak in a little Bengals draft humor to our podcast.
Here, that's continue. Why it went completely over my head. Never mind.
Let's cannot cross podcasting universes. I refuse.
But yeah, he brings over three mugs in one hand, his long metallic fingers. He has a great sword slung over his shoulder. And
I heard you used to be able to hold seven drinks in one hand.
Look.
Sorry.
I'm done making only if you're going to start buying.
Do you guys just want to fuck already and get rid of the sexual tension that's between you or what?
I'm good. You guys still smell a little bit like ozone, so let's get that cleaned up first.
I do apologize about the city that we kind of blew up a little bit.
No, you guys, from the reports of the crew and the few Emerald Claw mooks we found alive, you all apparently did a decent job mitigating the damage. Otherwise, it would have gone past the outer wall and hit the castle itself.
I'll accept a stately manor in the countryside as recompense. That's all I need. It's okay.
Yeah, we're not in a place where we can recognize your contributions yet. But if there is something that I can rustle up quietly, information, for instance, in exchange for whatever you know about the people on this and how the hell they got their hands on a living lightning spell.
Three, you seem pretty trustworthy. Can I roll, actually, for that?
What are you trying to do?
I just want to make sure he's, you know, honest, and the smile on his face is what it appears to be.
I mean, it appears to be hardware. But
well, I mean, I want to know that he's... I want to roll to make sure that he's actually a good guy.
Okay, you don't need to roll for that. He is...
Well, here, I am just trying to use my abilities.
Like, he is famous. And believe me, mostly you don't want to roll because you don't want to fail this roll right now.
He's famous?
He is famous. He is the king's protector. He was just a warforged mook who happened to be in the right place at the right time to save the king of Breland, and was elevated and eventually became a paladin.
Does Sevens know that he's, like, famous? And how does Sevens handle interacting with, like, a famous warforged
am I intimidated?
You would know he's famous. Are you intimidated?
No. I think Sevens is annoyed.
Red.
Why?
I think he's annoyed that this guy is bigger than him and seems to, like, know what he's about, and
how dare he have confidence?
And he's confident. He, like, has a memory. He knows what he's done, where he's going. Sevens is just kind of like,
you've got a perfect memory,
cruising,
you know, up to
right
a point
now. Well, I mean, it may be perfect, but there are large gaps in it, in the perfectness.
Is Sevens, like, sullenly, like, pounding his drink, like, leaning back in his chair, like
just staring daggers at him? Now he's just I don't think Sevens has said almost anything this whole conversation.
Okay.
Listen, what do you know about the Emerald Claw? Because we've been on their case kind of tangentially for a minute, and any information, it kind of seems like whether we want it or not, this is going to be on our plate. So any information you have, I think would be great
they
for
keep
us.
Showing up. They used to be
a
company for Karnath. Now they've been disowned by Emperor Caius III. They operate independently and seem to be agitating and have someone they're reporting to, but we're still trying to figure out who. And they seem to be basically trying to instigate and reignite the Hundred Years' War for some reason.
Do you have any intelligence channels about leadership? Do you know where they meet? Like, anything?
As far as details go, I have some, but they move in small cells. They operate like guerrilla fighters. It's incredibly hard to pin them down. It's the only reason we haven't been able to in the last few years since the treaty. Also, their agenda does not follow a predictable logic. Mostly due to them having multiple independent cells. So while we've captured everyone related to this cell, we weren't able to get their leader, some lieutenant.
Yeah, Atwell, we know him, we're familiar.
You do? What can you tell me about him? Because he's been... It's been really hard to find information on him.
I can tell you some form of mystic. I think he's on his third or fourth head.
What do you mean?
We cut it off a lot. It's kind of like our hobby horse.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, we see him every time, and it's like, hey, what's up? And then we cut his head off, and then he laughs, and we know we'll see him in, like, a week. It's a whole thing.
Do you guys have any of those heads lying around?
Sevens, do you have that in your chest still, or is that back in the office?
Sorry, I left it in the office.
Out of character. Yup. Packed up your office, gave left everything.
Didn't we leave it
too big to put in the bag?
What's her name?
Yeah, with Alina.
Alina. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gnome. Actually that.
But Alina's. Yeah, the head, especially the last one you claimed a few minutes ago, is in your chest.
Did we claim that one? Or did he fly off? I didn't think we claimed that one.
We didn't.
I thought you got it.
I don't think so.
Definitely didn't. We could listen. We didn't.
Because he just like because it wasn't. Yeah, no. It wasn't his head. It was some dude he was possessing.
And well, but that's been the case every time since the first, which was the only time you didn't claim his head.
We didn't happen to get it this time. He kind of inhabits a new body every time. He seems to be going progressively more insane. I mean, if you want, next time we kill him, we can try to, you know, get it to you.
Do you guys know the first time he died?
I mean, we did kill him in the Hundred Years' War. That was kind of our first, you know, soiree, as it were. So, I mean...
Somewhere around Helmsford, maybe? His voice just sharpened a little bit.
It was Helmsford, right?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Seven's... He kind of squints his eyes and, like, he went... I don't know how to... Like, that makes me uneasy that he's all, like...
As it should.
Honing in on this particular fact. So I think Seven's, like, kicks Witz's chair, like, just enough to, like, give him the signal of, hey, maybe not tell this guy everything. I'm skeptical.
So he kicked Witz's chair and kicked him under the table and was like...
Mm. Yeah.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Well, House Kneath had some kind of creation forge set up there that Carnathy forces were attempting to repurpose into some sort of control circle or control module.
Terrible zombie creation machine.
Essentially turning Warforged into mindless zombie killing machines.
What's the difference?
Like fit right in. Damn it!
And he laughs. He laughs. It's funny because it's true. But basically, yeah, we found some evidence there afterwards. There was a former captain that we used to work with who was tracking that down, who's gone missing since, and we haven't seen her since the war.
If only we knew any captains during that whole time in the war. Shame.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean...
That is Witz's former lover, yes?
100%.
Okay, Witz kind of stiffens up at that and doesn't mention it.
Clearly I've touched a nerve. Very sorry.
Do you have any idea how many Warforged they were able to convert?
None. Due to his untimely death, however...
Yeah, you're welcome, by the way.
You seem awfully well informed about this, for not having been there.
My body has a point.
We had a captain in the Lanterns with you all who reported on the incident and told us what happened. You shouldn't be that surprised. We've been looking into the Emerald Claw and their activities in Atwell since he showed up 2 or 3 months ago, and then again with the attack at the train yard in Sharn.
Is Atwell, like, the leader here, or
no,
what intel do you have?
No, someone's pulling his strings. Like you noticed, he doesn't seem to be as sane as he was when he was alive, and even then he wasn't that sane to begin with.
Who is pulling? Do you have somebody above him? Do you have location? Anything?
We don't know.
How do we find out?
That is going to involve a lot of intelligence gathering.
That rules you out.
It's someone. Oh.
I elbow Sevens.
That was a good one. Three clinks his glass with Sevens. But no, it's someone with a lot of power in Carnath, but it's not the Emperor. Someone else is pulling the strings back there, and it's unclear who. But clearly they have something to gain by continuing the Hundred Years' War beyond simply expanding Carnath's grasp and lands.
Listen, if I give you our address, can you keep us informed?
Of course. Are you guys heading back to Sharn now, or did you have other business on your way?
We have a drop in Ondaire, but after that, yeah, we're back to Sharn.
Okay, well, stop in here, or I'll have someone meet you when the Lightning Rail comes back through Brelish territory, somewhere around Swordkeep, I guess. If there's a message for you, I'll have someone leave something. It'll probably be a day or so before things are rolling again, as House Orion cleans up this mess and reclaims those unused pylons. Because honestly, here's the thing that worries me. Those look like they were retrieved out of the Mornland, which means Emerald Claw is working with possibly the Lord of Blades and his faction. That worries me.
Who is the Lord of Blades?
Oh, he's a Warforged who, basically, is making a nation of Warforged in the uninhabitable lands that used to be Seer, in the Moorland. Doesn't matter if stuff doesn't grow or decay when you don't need to eat and are immune to poison. He's been on the move as well. If he's joined forces with the Emerald Claw, that could mean a lot of trouble. His troops would likely be able to give Carnath a path through to move troops across the Moorland quickly.
Sevens, I think Sevens would lean forwards at this point. Like, I don't know. I'm going to out of game here for a second. Like, how much Sevens would know about the Lord of Blades. But I feel like the Lord of Blades was... I'll just tell him.
The Lord of Blades is a relatively independent actor. Why would he team up with Carnath? That makes no sense to me.
I don't think he's teaming up with Carnath, but I think he's definitely getting something out of that. Promise of land, or chance to ambush and destroy, he's famous for betraying deals made with living groups. Like, that's not news. He may be looking to establish his own power base or consolidate it, or gain land outside the Mornland. I mean, even the Warforged might like to see something that's not the Dread Mist every once in a while.
Does he want a nation, or does he want continental-wide rule of Warforged?
I don't know. He said both at different times. And by said, I mean the pamphlets that get circulated in the COGS and other Warforged heavy areas say that. He's got his own agenda.
Huh.
I think it is Seven's personal opinion that the Lord of Blades is just set on, like, the liberation and emancipation of all Warforged, and I don't think Sevens thinks that he's, like, a evil being.
Well, he's doing that by basically saying the living races suck and we're going to supplant them. Or living races are inferior, because they're mostly mortal.
It's because they are.
Hey-o!
Dirty flesh bags.
Oh, meat bags.
Breathing and you're eating.
Gross. Gross, full of fluids. Ugh. Well, three goes, here, this tavern's got rooms for the night. I'll put you up, and House Orion should be able to take you on to Ondaire in the morning. If you guys need anything, come let me know, especially if you find out anything more about Atwell and the Claw. Or, hell, the Lord of Blades. Looking at Zevins and going, I mean, he's always interested in new recruits. But I know that any changeling that's tried to infiltrate has quickly been outed due to the extremely harsh, brutal nature of the Mornland.
Yeah, I'm not good at robot.
Oh, you are one?
Sevens just shakes his head.
What did you put in this drink?
Bourbon? I don't know. Look, I don't care. It's not my business, but just something to keep an eye on. At least you guys are going through Swordkeep and not Vatherond. There's a lot more presence as you get closer to the Mornland.
All right, well, listen, I appreciate the information. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, you guys have a nice day. I'm going to go report to someone. Staggers up and heads out the tavern. The barkeep comes over and says, will you gentlemen be staying the night? Mr. Threes indicated that I should prepare a room.
Yeah, the penthouse suite, right?
I mean, I don't have one, but sure. Our finest room. It has a bed.
Great.
Outstanding. It's one of three upstairs with its own private boudoir. Should I say water closet? Toilet?
Sevens, would you like to...
You mentioned Andare. I don't want to get too French, but it's Andare.
Yeah, we're done with you, barkeep. Go away.
Damn, Sevens, I don't like that voice.
We'll come back. Sevens, you look a little uptight. Would you like to, carouse for a bit before bed?
Oh, what the heck? I was such an asshole.
Well, he was very nice and helpful, but okay.
Jealousy.
Hey everybody, this is Nathan, aka Wits, here. Just wanted to apologize, one, for the episode being a day late. We recorded a week later than usual, and then we had like three family days come up, so I didn't get it edited in time, and that's my fault. We did also want to plug a couple things, because we haven't actually done that really before on the show, at least not in like a mid-roll. We're on Twitter at Gloomy Sunday Pod. You can tell it's us, a little profile picture is Wits and Sevens back to back on the Eberron cover, so that's pretty cool. And we actually just set up a Patreon, and that is Two Ashes to Dust, or patreon.com/gloomysundays, Gloomy Sundays with an S at the end. We've got some tiers over there. We'll add some more stuff to that. We'll come up with some new ideas, stuff like that. So we just wanted to plug those two things, and also, if you could rate and review us on iTunes, that's the conglomeration point. That's where like 60% of listens come from. So that's the metric you want to hit. Rate and review on iTunes. That'd be a huge help for us. And also, just want to say thanks for listening. We just crossed 1,300 unique downloads. So that's super awesome. Yeah, I think that's it. We'll get back to the show. Thank you so much.
No, I think Sevens slams a drink, stands up, and then says, "I think I'm gonna go walk around for a bit. I gotta get that guy out of my head. I'll see you later tonight." And Sevens leaves.
All right, well, you catch me later now, you hear? Because I'm the cowboy now.
Switching into your Wilford? No, not Wilford. What is it?
Wilford Brimley.
I'm trying to remember the name of your cowboy.
Me too.
Session 4.
It's
session
been
three,
a minute.
Session 4. Waylon.
Waylon's not bad.
All right. So into the Waylon persona.
Into the Waylon verse. Sevens, you leave.
Browsing?
You going to clear your head?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't sleep, so this could take a while.
Yeah, Sevens just kind of gives him a little like head nod and walks out the door onto the street.
I'm going to go up to the bar with the French bartender.
He heard you were going to Andare, so he was treating you like you were from Andare/France.
Waylon doesn't care. Bonjour. Can I get two whiskeys?
Of course, sir. Here you go.
You can just put them in the same glass. It's fine.
Oh, a double. Certainly.
If you want to call it that.
Would you like a fresh ice sphere in that?
Oui.
Oh, certainly. And then he mixes you up a little Manhattan.
I want to proposition.
A charn.
Hey, I've got the hottest hand in this club. Who wants to play me in some poker?
It's still the middle of the afternoon. You've got a couple drunks who are happy to take you up on it.
Crickets chirp.
There's like one dude in the back.
Yeah,
keep it down,
it's
sir.
Okay. It's okay. As things settle down and the night goes on, more people show up and you can get a game going. If you want to give me that carouse check.
What are the planes? What are like the big planes called? Like, what's the Texas of this world?
I'm gonna go with, I'm gonna say Talenta Plains or Valinor. Punt is full of halflings and dinosaurs. Valinar is full of mercenary elves. We're really good at raising critters, so I'm going to go with Valinar.
Gather around, everybody. If you can beat me and Valinar Hold'em, I'll pay 2-1. How about that?
Ooh, that was good odds. Let's go. And you quickly have a small round of government bureaucrats talking about the attack today and drinking away their sorrow and trying to distract them, and you are doing a great job.
Man, that is some wild shit. You say a train fell right out of the sky.
You didn't hear that? It was right over there on the other side of the island.
Just like
the castle.
Just like right out of the sky, like a pig with wings, huh?
Well, they'd like rigged a track to launch it across the thing, like a ramp. It was insane. Like, who does that? This is scary shit. I don't want to go to war again.
Nah, I mean, land of Goshen, that's insane.
Did you say Atlantic Ocean?
Listen, why don't you go ahead and deal that next card, though?
All right. We're going to do this one, Eldian single draw, all right? Now, is Carouse a check that you make? Like, I don't know.
So, Silver Tongue is my new ability, right? You never have to spend money to carouse, and you roll with charisma instead of coins. So I suppose I would just roll that.
So I'm looking at the Dungeon World special moves, carouse. Roll plus charisma. On a 10 plus, choose 3. It's basically the carouse move.
It's fortuitous for you, because I'm pretty sure I walked out with all the money.
How about a 3 on that one?
Okay.
Is that double? That's a double crit 1. How's that possible?
Wow. Mark double experience.
I do apologize. It appears the police are coming for my bad rolls.
Hold on. Carouse, this is copy and paste.
They're coming to get you.
Foley work, look at that. So basically you get to pick one. Things get out of hand.
That's better. So I gain useful information, or I am not entangled and
ensorcelled.
Word. Or tricked. I'm gonna gain useful information.
Okay. So you find House Ori and Flunky. Like, as part of your carousing, you guys, and we're gonna call him Johan, and he works for House Orion. He's got a small dragon mark, and he is drinking to forget. But in drinking to forget, he lets slip that these are prototype pyramids that were used in the ramp reevaluation. They would have come from the House Orion and House Kneath facility in Metrol, the former capital of Seer, now in the Moorland and no longer accessible. Very few people have been able to get to Metrol. It disappeared along with most of Seer.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but ain't nobody been near Metrol for, well, going on 10 years now.
5 years.
Going on 5 years now. Sometimes my memory slips, you have to understand.
It's the alcohol.
But yeah, that means someone found that, which means someone found other stuff, and maybe found what caused the mourning. Like, everyone thought it was some House Kneath thing that went wrong, or some, like, arcane magic event.
So I think Wits, i.e. Waylon, picks up on that this is information that he can get, and he goes, hey, why don't we get my friend over here another drink? And then he motions with his right arm, and he knocks over a tray of drinks from like a huge ass brute that's walking by. And I think that's what kicks off into a fight.
All right, so this will escalate into a brawl. We're gonna cut to Waylon and Johan being defenestrated. Right as Sevens walks back by the front of the bar, middle of the night. You're both wasted. You're covered in shards of glass.
I was going to say, I think it would be almost better as Sevens is walking up to the bar,
exactly.
Wits gets right. Thrown through a window or through the door, and he
That's
just sees, meets him out on the street.
Defenestrated.
Sorry, I only understand single and double syllable words, because Sevens is a real big dumb.
That sounds like one of them fancy $5 words.
Look, I love the defense.
You got a purtier tongue than a $2 whore.
Oh, Waylon. But yeah, so Sevens, Johan, this little like bureaucrat fellow with a bad toupee, Waylon, who you'd seen before and recognized. Oh, Wits is horny.
Oh, howdy, big fella.
You have a chance to catch them, along with a lot of broken glass.
I absolutely do like not catch them.
Okay, they bounce off you and slump to the ground with the broken glass.
And then
it's okay.
Medicinally, and goes, get the fuck out of here.
And then I just I pick both of them up by the scruffs of their necks and go,
I cannot leave you alone for a goddamn second.
I missed you, big fella. You and your big strong arms. And then the barkeep walks out of the door and says, and stay out of the Woolworth.
That's 100% the name of the bar now.
Outstanding. All right.
Johan staggers up holding his head and goes, oh, I gotta get back to the dorm.
Oh. Listen, fella, it's been an absolute riot hanging out with you tonight. You take care of here.
You're just pretty.
All right, you get out of here.
You come back, ask me anything.
Okay, yeah. Please leave.
He wanders off, seduced by the drink and the handsomeness.
I mean, listen, Waylon's a scruffy man.
You know, and for someone who has to, like, suppress everything to be part of a bureaucratic and you know, dragon-marked house, conform or else culture, sometimes nice to fantasize a little bit. You guys no longer have a place to sleep.
I do apologize.
No, wait. You could, but you'd have to stop being Waylon for a minute.
Listen, I'm having a great time.
Are you sober enough to stop being Waylon?
yes, but, like, lazily. Like, I vaguely resemble Waylon still, but it'd be, like, a cousin of Waylon instead of, like, actually Waylon.
Okay. But yeah, you guys can come back in and go, who was that just got thrown out? Barkeep goes, oh, Mr. Wits, welcome back. Are you well? You look a little strained.
You
got hit by that guy flying out through your window. He'll be fine.
Oh, well, that low life, he started all kinds of trouble.
Right? What a goddamn asshole.
I mean, who knocks the drinks over of royal guards off duty? That's just asking to get their ass kicked. I won't die.
Which is like swaying and like finger gunning at everything Seven says.
Pew pew.
Yes. What he said.
Sevens drags Wits up the stairs, just like his feet dragging on up, like thump thump thumping up the stairs. And,
away we go.
Shaking his head.
Look, Ma, it's an escalator. He's no longer a toaster.
I think we get into the room, and then you can tell me how you feel about this. But this is what I wanted to do with Sevens while he was out.
Whoa,
walking.
Whoa.
Thinking.
Consent is important.
He reaches into his bag of holding and with his back to Wits and goes, I don't really think you deserve this.
After tonight. But he turns around and he holds out this just the most beautiful little crossbow that Wits has ever seen. Sevens went shopping.
Oh!
And it is just like a stunningly crafted crossbow.
Sevens.
I figure since it's kind of my fault you lost your last one, I'd get this for you. I did have to spend most of our coin on it, though.
It's so beautiful. Oh my... Can I touch it?
I thought you'd never ask. Yeah, he,
Sevens hands him the crossbow.
I, like, run it, like, my hands over it. I'm, like, turning it over in my hands. I go, it's so... Hang on a second. And I disappeared, stumbling down the stairs, and then I stumble back up, and I burst into the room, like, I shoulder the door open and stumble in, and I'm like, I put this on your head, and I hand out an apple.
Oh, absolutely not.
Come on, it'll be fine. It's how you tell the quality of a good crop. You have to crossbow an apple off your friends, that's how you tell.
I don't think that's how that works at all.
Come on.
Nope.
Fine, hold it out with your hand away from your body. your big, strong, beautiful body.
Fine.
And he does. I think Seven sets up like a bunch of pillows behind like wherever he's holding his hand for when Wits inevitably misses.
Wits is definitely like, his arm is definitely like moving around a lot with the crossbow like held out in front of him.
Regretting
that
this.
Blazing Saddles moment. Like, look at his hand, steady as a rock. And pulls up the other one. This is the one I shoot with.
Unfortunately, this is my shooting. Can I roll, I guess, like, can I roll disadvantage?
If you want to roll a volley, go for
wait,
it.
Hold.
Show me that crossbow bolt you're going to fire first.
It's just a regular crossbow bolt. It's not going to hurt you. Come on. It'll be fun. It's just so lit. You're so big. And it's so little.
I snap the tip off the arrow, so it's just like a bolt.
Okay, so that's definitely going to be a minus one, because it no longer flies straight.
You ruined all my fun.
When you're sober, buddy. When you're sober.
That's a seven, which I guess is a six.
Plus dex? Seven plus?
Oh yeah, because your dex plus one.
Oh yeah, that's with your dex. Okay, so you rolled a five plus one, minus one. Hmm. Well, that's a miss.
No, 5 plus 2 minus 1. 5 plus 1 plus 1, then yes, minus 1.
Math.
So
math is hard, man.
Got a 6.
That's why we have the computer.
I mean, really, it was a 7, and we needed to subtract 1. It's not really that hard, but we got there.
I mean, the one that makes the most sense here is deal damage.
I catch your hand a little bit with the blunt.
You put it right in the bottom of the apple, but definitely like graze the edge of his palm.
And this is why I took off the arrowhead.
Which, like, puts his arms up in the air because he hits the apple. Like, yeah! I got it!
Yeah, and then I think... Didn't quite I think hit the Wits, apple so much as bump the apple off his hand because he hit his hand.
I think at that point, with his arms thrown up and the momentum changing from his body suddenly like that, he kind of just falls forward, passed out drunk on the floor or the bed, whichever.
Yeah. And we're done.
That's okay damage.
And Sevens takes the crossbow out of his hand and sets it on the table.
Do you tuck me?
Yeah, he does. And then he tucks him into bed.
One-handed. Oh, that was... What an interlude, gentlemen.
We have caroused.
Indeed. Let's cut to the next morning, then. Wits, you are terribly hungover. Sevens has a bandage around his hand.
Sevens wakes Wits up by throwing a bucket of water on him.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Valid. Valid. Fair.
I'm honestly cuddling the crossbow.
Yeah. And the innkeep has breakfast ready for you. And the House Orion has left complimentary tickets to help compensate all the passengers inconvenienced by the terrorist attack. And the train departs in about, 10 minutes.
Oh, dear.
There's a mad dash while eating breakfast through the streets of Rote to get to the lightning rail to catch the train to Swordkeep.
Well, to Ondair, isn't it? Swordkeep on the way back.
Swordkeep is the last stop in Breland before you cross over into Ondair. Because you guys are heading to Fairhaven, capital of Ondair.
Yeah, I mean, do we get there? Do we make it to the train?
I don't know. Give me that Defy Danger. Probably from Sevens, who's sober and confident.
I'm sober.
And also hasn't failed two rolls and gotten two XP.
Oh yeah, I should
remember to mark XP for shooting Seven's
also,
hand.
Also, yes. Thanks, buddy.
Anytime.
All right. Defy Danger is plus strength. So
plus whatever
right.
You like, depending on how you do it.
Hey, that's a 6, and that's a 2, so that's an 8 plus 2 is 10.
You oh, make yeah. It just in time.
Wits under your arm.
Wits under your arm, trying, holding his mouth, trying very hard not to puke from the very, very rough powering through that got you there. Yeah, you swing onto the train, they punch your tickets, you're sitting up near the first class cabin.
Hell yeah, first class this time, what's up?
That's the upgrade for having been part of a terrorist attack. It's only the least House Horian could do to try and...
You
suspect that Johan had some hand in the compensation portion after hearing harrowing
like
tales of what it was like.
There's like a little note that's like, call me next time you're in. Oh, God.
Yep. Johan's got a little crush.
Oh, no.
on to be fair, he's got a little crush on Waylon, so he doesn't know Wits for shit.
Throw that note out the window.
Aww, he meant well. You could have been a corporate insider that you could have used as part of your network, but no.
We still can. His name is Johan, and he lives in Rote.
It lives in Rote and Dragonmark House Orion, yeah.
Which doesn't forget.
But yeah, honestly, the train is practically empty. There is almost no one on board after yesterday. No one wants to take the lightning rail until they're sure that the everyone's locked everything down. Which is one of the reasons why the first class car was available. There's one other small group in a passenger cabin up front, and the crew and the barkeep and like no one in coach except for a few Warforged at the very far back of the coach. Technically they are baggage, but because it's empty, they've been allowed to move up into the coach class.
Rude.
My.
Look, it's not my world. Technically, it is my world. We're going to deal with some of these issues. Kind of like we talked about. Going to work through some stuff. Yeah, you guys are on the train. So, for the most part, the next 24 hours or so of travel are kind of uneventful. Coach is comfortable. You get to know the other group pretty well. Sevens, you meet the other Warforged group. We'll call them, I don't know, pick a nation, any nation, except for Karnath. Thrain? Yeah,
France.
We'll say they're Eberron Nation.
Oh, that's right.
Breaking immersion by calling it France. How dare you, sir? It's not like I've done that three times already. But yeah, a couple Thrainish veterans who are heading to a new job in Undare, hoping to make some money. In a mine,
where a million diamonds shine.
They call it a mine.
Yeah, we dropped somebody, something fell on the guy, and now we're in A flat minor. Bad jokes aside, the next 24 hours to Fairhaven passed pretty uneventfully. Again, the train stays empty. The news of the attack has almost completely shut down. It's definitely like a paranoia that's set in about travel. And things are very quiet.
So it's like a day left to Ondare?
24 hours on a train, yep.
So Witz like walks into the train car that I think Sevens and Witz are sharing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a cab. Yeah, it's a, not the whole car, but cabin.
So he sits down opposite him and kind of looks at his shoes and... Listen, I'm I'm not really great at expressing gratitude or anything, but especially not sober. What I'm trying to say is thanks for the crossbow, man. It means a lot.
There's no need to thank me.
Still,
no, really. You'll never need to. I was happy to do it for you, buddy.
Let's go get some drinks.
Let's do that.
And Sevens and Witz walk arm in arm towards the bar car.
Holding hands.
As the train's... Not arm over shoulder. Arm over shoulder.
Pinching each other's butts.
helping hold each other upright as the train sways back and forth.
Like, what is it, like in the Jungle Book? Like Baloo and...
Yeah, Baloo and Bagheera. Staggering.
Look for the bare necessities.
The simple bare necessities.
Let's go get fucked up, Witz.
Dearest listener, thank you for tuning in and joining us for this week's To Ashes, To Dust, a Witz's Inquisitives production. Your narrator is Alex Kirk. Witz is played by our editor, Nathan Shoemaker, and Sevens is played by Zach Shoemaker. Join us for our next broadcast from the dark and seedy underbelly of the City of Towers in To Ashes, To Dust.
And 1, 2, 3, clap, 5, and then
4, 5, 6.
No, 5, 6, 7.
5, 6, 7.
Yep.
Wait, what?
1, 2, 3, clap, 5, 6, 7.
I say 5, Nate says 6, you say 7.
All right.
All right, ready? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4.
5, 6, 7.
Sure. Mark.
It's almost like we I just said what it was and then I just got it wrong. All right, so I'll say 5. All right,
the clap sounded good.
I think it's fine.
The clap's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Counting's hard.
Well. Counting is too hard. It's been a week. You know how many like half-hour-long conversations I've had to have this week about I'm going to miss you guys. I've been working with you for a decade.
Oh, did you get the wind energy job?
In theory, as long as I pass the drug test.
Nice.
Oh, well, sorry about that. Dope, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, it should be pretty cool. And like 20% more salary, which is pretty sweet.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, new salaries. Nice.
But that's neither here nor there, because we are in Eberron.
Sorry, I want a new salary in Eberron. Wits, I need a raise. I demand more.
Well, start taking your own cases, then.
I mean, give them... No, it's fine. Give them a 5% raise. 5% of zero is still zero.
Damn it.
Yeah. You can order seconds when we're at hashed out. How about that?
Oh.
Okay. You're too generous.
Isn't their whole thing like bottomless hash browns? Whatever.
Yeah. But shh.